Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Let's get it started in here.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Hey, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Woo!
Cranking it up tonight, man. Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I'm your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, one of my co-hosts, Chris Bikerson. Chris, how are you doing tonight, brother?
You know what? I'm actually pretty relaxed tonight. I made a decision earlier this morning that I was going to dedicate the entire day to going back through, like, the list of everybody, like, I went to high school with and everything. And I was going to make a list of all the girls that cut their own breast off because they didn't have sex change operations available to them. And it didn't take very long before I discovered that absolutely none of them did. So I just haven't done anything the rest of the day.
Wow, I'm sure that was great news to find out that none of them did, you know? Holy. I'm going to have to do that, go through a list and find out how many people that I, women and girls that I knew growing up and throughout life, their breasts off because of sex change. Yeah.
I heard in the mainstream media this was a real threat, a real problem, that girls are just going to be running around, you know, cutting them off if they can't get that procedure, you know, done without their parents' consent. So I really had to reflect on it. I'm like, man, well, let me just really go back and reflect on how many times that happened when I was in school. And I don't know. I guess my memory's bad, but apparently none of them did.
Well, you know, that actually did not come from the mainstream media. That actually came from a Florida lawmaker. She come on hinged in a Senate hearing or something. But she's the one that said that. And, you know, if it came from the mainstream media, at least I knew, I would know that, hey, they're just pushing their agenda. But coming from a lawmaker, that should concern everybody. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with these people? They're crazy. You mean you were just talking about how crazy the Democrat Party went from, you know, where they were almost in the middle, like, politically. I mean, yeah, they stood a little bit left, you know, a decade or two ago, but they have went from being closer to the middle to way the hell out there, like far, far left, like another ballpark. I'm not really understanding it, but I do want to let you guys know tonight, at about 7:15 or so, we will have an up-and-coming music, country music singer by the name of Maureen Norris. She will be joining us live and uncensored. We're going to just ask her a few questions and talk about where she come from and how she got to where she is. And yeah. And then after that, we're going to go to Travis Bull Johnson. Will be joining us at 8 o'clock live and uncensored to talk about the new political party that he started in Minnesota that he currently chairs, called the Constitutional Republic Party. And we'll let him get into that and explain exactly what that is. And throughout these interviews, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, let me give you the guest call-in number. If you want to call in and talk to our guests live and uncensored and ask them questions, you are more than welcome. And that call-in number, if you grab your pen and paper, is 516-387-1733. It's my switchboard know that, hey, I got something to say. And we'll throw you on when we get a moment, and you can ask your question or make your comment. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733. Yeah, we're going to have a couple different subjects on the show tonight. And I always, you know, we get focused on one subject sometimes, and then I go off into rants, and people get crazy. And so I try to flip it up a little bit here. But I wanted to read you guys a couple, you know, me and Chris just talked about what that lawmaker said in Florida about women are going to cut off their breasts if they don't have a sex change operation available to them. Can you imagine? Like, let's get back to that conversation before we get Marie Norris on here. Can you imagine that they truly think that? Now, if a girl or a woman really truly did do that, then you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is a mental issue. Not that we already don't know that. We already know that. But if a woman is you don't need to build a sex change operation hospitals or any of that. You need to start building insane asylums because that's what it is. It's insane. Holy Lord. Another thing that happened. I mean, there's so many things that happened. We could literally spend, I don't know, probably 12 hours a day on here, and we'd never run out of material to talk about. But that would get boring, too. You've got to take a break. But a Democrat delegate from Virgin Islands, Stacey Plaskett, threatened the Twitter Files journalist Matt Taibbi with imprisonment for exposing all the corruption. Because now, today, they dropped new files dropped that Fauci and Big Pharma were actually colluding. And they were using Twitter to do it and using big tech. I'm assuming Facebook would be involved in that somehow, but obviously you ain't going to get the truth out of them unless somebody buys Facebook, and I don't see that happening. But I don't know. What do you think about all that, Chris? Like all those Twitter files that have been dropping and stuff. That, there's a lot of collusion going on between our government and Big Pharma and all sorts of different things to censor people and to push agendas. What's your thoughts, Chris?
I mean, this is pretty obvious what's going on, I think. So anybody who has any natural security sense about them that, you know, they are going after anyone who is exposing their wrongdoings. And I mean, it's like somebody comes along, basically proves that some people within the government were committing a major federal felony, complete violation of rights. And instead of, you know, saying, hey, we're going to stop that, hey, we're going to fire that guy or whatever, instead people are doubling down and they're like, we want to arrest the guy who exposed this corruption. How does that work?
Yeah, like the whistleblowers, the whistleblower that come forward about Hunter Biden's tax evasion issue. And, you know, look at Julian Assange and Edward Snowden. Julian Assange is still in jail for exposing the truth. And if he ever got extradited back to the United States, he'd probably be put to death for it. And Edward Snowden, I think he's still in Russia or something, isn't he? Like, he had to flee, too. But, you know, another thing I heard today, too, Trudeau up in Canada sent the Clinton Foundation $20 million Canadian dollars, which is, you know, whatever, but sent the Clinton Foundation $20 million. So, what's going on there? I know that Trudeau's involved with this worldwide corruption that we're all seeing. You're seeing people in France and the UK. I mean, all over the world are protesting because this World Economic Forum agenda is that they are trying to, or in the midst of trying to take us over. And people still don't believe me when I say it. There are people out there that are starting to wake up, but Trudeau, it's obvious in Canada. It's obvious in the United States. And then I was reading, you know, a little bit about the New World Order and different people that have said it. George Bush Sr. said it back when he was president. Recently, Biden said it in a live video. And numerous senators and congressmen have said it. And Klaus Schwab, he's even went as far to brag that he's got, you know, most of the government's involvement worldwide. The Canadian, he breaks, he's got over 50% that are young global leaders that are, you think Trump pulled us out of the World Health Organization because they are wrapped right up in the middle of that whole agenda. You know, Trump got us out of the UN and WHO and numerous other things. And that's, you know, me and you have talked about this, Chris, and we could have a quick discussion about this. What do we believe that Trump is on the up and up? Do we think that he, you know, we've had that discussion, but we're going to have another short one. I do think that Trump is on the up and up for the most part. I do have questions. And I think that would be, you should have questions with anybody. You should always question everything. But what would be his purpose to take us out of the WHO and the UN and those organizations if he didn't know something like what we know about the World Economic Forum? What are your thoughts on that, Chris? I mean, it just makes me, the hamster wheel in my head turn a little bit. That's all.
You know, I still have a lot of questions. One of my biggest questions being, if he was aware of this, why didn't he do more to make people aware of it earlier? And the only thing I can maybe think is that it was too much, it was too overwhelming, and he knew if he came out all at once and just started exposing everything, he would just simply be labeled, well, you know, like the rest of us, a crazy tinfoil hat, you know, right-wing conspiracy theorist that belongs in a, you know, insane asylum. And if he was too fast and too strong about it, that they would probably facilitate that, you know. And I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, I'm losing count. I'm literally losing count of all the things you and I have talked about that we've been labeled, along with a lot of other people, and we've been labeled just these crazies, right, for saying these insane things that only a moron would believe, only a Trump-tard would believe that, right? Do you realize up until approximately 72, 76 hours ago, secret Chinese police stations was this vast, crazy, right-wing conspiracy theory? Because, yeah, guys like me and Jeremy were talking about these secret Chinese police stations, and they're not just in America, they're all over Canada as well. We were talking about these over a year ago. Over a year ago. Well over a year ago. Because, well, we're plugged into that type of intelligence community where that information that you don't see on your television set flows to us. So we were getting information on that. And anyone who even attempted to talk about that was obviously branded, you know, just a crazy, another tinfoil hat. And then they come out, the Department of Justice announces, we've arrested this ring of people that were operating a secret Chinese police station right there in Manhattan. As if this is brand new information, as if it's shocking, as if no one in the entire damn world had ever realized that this was happening. And everybody just forgets all the people they made fun of, all the people they called crazy for trying to point it out to them. It was only crazy then. And now it's just, oh, yeah, okay. Well, the man in the television told me that that's happening, so now I know it's true. But it was just a crazy conspiracy theory when you said it, because you couldn't possibly know this before the man in the television knew about it.
Yeah.
Tired of it, Jeremy.
And not only that, Chris, they didn't find just one. They found six thus far, so far. They found one in Manhattan, one in Chicago, one in Minneapolis, Minnesota, one in Nebraska. One was out in California, and I can't remember where the other one was. That's the six that they know about, that they're letting the American public know about. How many are there, really? If they're telling you there's six, there's probably 60. Like, you need to pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. I put out on social media here this last week, because I seen I go through all my social media, and I follow people that share really good information. And I come across this this video of a guy down in Panama, and they were loading buses bus after bus after bus after bus full of Chinese people coming from China and busing them up to our southern border because our southern border isn't secure. But except for people like me and Chris. So there's your breaking news right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There's the next conspiracy fact that eventually is going to be shown. You may not hear about it for another 90 days or 120 days or a year from now, but that is happening. It is alarming because I don't know if people understand how a military goes about preparing for an invasion, but they start with what they call an advance party. And that advance party finds a way to kind of infiltrate the area they're about to invade. And they go out and they start making notes. They start gathering intelligence about, if we're talking about conventional warfare, a land-type invasion, they're going to start making notes about terrain features and weather patterns and things that would affect, you know, a brigade or a regiment of tanks, you know, from advancing through a certain area. But we're not in those days. Right now we're in a little bit of fifth generation warfare. But still, you send an advance party in to infiltrate back behind enemy lines, well into enemy territory, to start gathering intel and basically kind of start figuring out the ins and outs of what's the best way to go about securing areas where large military units could make their way to. So when you look at that and you look at some of the other things that are happening militarily, the movement of Chinese military assets, naval assets, etc., their amassing of certain intercontinental weapons in certain spots, things of that nature. And I encourage everybody, if you know who Mark Levin is, try to find a video where he was recently talking about that. China is preparing to invade the U.S. Not in a technical way. Not to take over our power grid. Not just to bankrupt our banking system. Which, rest assured, they're trying to do that too. All wars are economic in nature. Basically, you fight the enemy until they can no longer afford to fight back. That has always been the nature of warfare. Back in the day, you might use swords to do that. You might use bombs or whatever. But they are preparing for a land invasion of the U.S. I've been saying that when did this whole COVID thing start? 3 years ago? I've been saying that for 3 years now. And, of course, people think I'm nuts. Well, now one of the high-profile people is finally agreeing with me. So it's bad stuff that's going on. So the fact that we all of a sudden have all these military-age males that are not having any kind of gender identity crisis that I can see making their way across our southern border, which is wide open, of course, that should be alarming to everybody.
And we'll get more into that, excuse me, in a minute. Our guest, Marie Norris, is on the line, so I'm going to add her in here shortly. But I'm, excuse me, got a frog in my throat tonight. I want you to think with this whole Chinese, border, the southern border issue that Chris was just explaining. Remember, it wasn't too long ago that we had Chinese spy balloons that were allowed to fly over the whole country. Just remember that. But on a different note, I want to go to Marie and let's talk live to her, and then we'll go back to this Chinese thing here in a southern border when we're done speaking with Marie Norris. And Marie, you are live on air with the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you. I met Marie down at the Mid-America Truck Show down in Louisville, Kentucky. Actually, her and her friend were kind enough to give me and one of our friends a ride. We had to get some stock up on some stuff, so we appreciate that. But Marie is a country music singer, and I just listened to one of her songs on YouTube, just the other day, and what a voice you have on you. How did you get started singing country music? And yeah, let's just start there.
Well, I've been singing all my life. I started very young. I'm told that I started like at two and a half, and sang Jesus Loves Me in church whenever I was that age. So I guess music has been a part of my life. I really didn't take it, you know, seriously, though, until here recently, you know, in the last 5 years or so. Since 2018, I've kind of been chasing it a lot more.
And while you've met some pretty cool people along your path, I'm assuming. Like, I know that you and I have a good mutual friend by the name of Taylor Barker. Great, man, that guy, I can't say enough good about that guy. He's, I consider him one of my true brothers. But who else have you met along your path that maybe people would recognize the name?
Well, Taylor, of course, he is, like you said, he's a great person, awesome individual. He invited me in, treated me like family, and never looked back. And we've been knowing each other right at a year now. And Stephen Myers, you know, with Truckers for Christ, I am associated with him. He helps me to promote myself and such. And let's see. Another promoter that helps me a lot is Caden Gordon. He does Today's Best Country Mix. So thought I'd give him a shout out. He plays my music quite a bit on his radio program. And, well, I really don't know of anybody else. I mean, haven't quite had the pleasure of meeting Tony Justice yet, up close and personal. I met Barbara Mandrell for a second at the Grand Ole Opry at her 50th anniversary, which anybody that knows me knows that I adore her and that she's my favorite person in the world and my favorite artist, and I think she's the GOAT. So,
you actually got a CD out right now, and what's that CD called, Murray?
Perfume and Diesel. That's the current one that I released last year. A new project is in the works, though, and New to Old School, which is my brand new single that just came out in the middle of March. It is available to all radio stations right now and on all digital platforms, and it's the first single off of the new project that will be out in July.
Oh, okay. Well, who would you compare your singing style to, like that in that sings country music professionally? Like, who would you compare your style to?
Well, I don't compare me to anyone. I'm kind of myself, but I have a lot of influences that have influenced my musical style. And of course, I mentioned Barbara Mandrell. She is top. Elvis Presley, Reba McEntire. Michael Jackson, even. I'm influenced by quite a bit, like a broad array of different artists from different forms of music. Bill Withers, I mean, most people don't even know who he is. I mean, but he's old school R&B and soul, you know, and Andy Kim and, you know, Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston. You know, I love all kinds of music. I don't like to limit myself to just one style.
Yeah.
But I am country.
No, I listened to your, I went to your YouTube and I listened to the Perfume and Diesel. And like I said, you got a voice, man. I was just like, whoa, she's going to, yeah, you sing it. I was impressed. How can people find you? Where do people find you at? On social media or beyond?
Well, I have TikTok, and it's Marie Norris Music. Put that in there, and it'll take you right to my page, because I believe I'm the only Marie Norris Music. Facebook, the same, Marie Norris Music. And I have a website, marienorris-music.com. There's CDs available for purchase on there. You just have to kind of go down toward the bottom. They're on there, though. And I'm working on new merchandise and stuff like that, you know, to add to the page. And, of course, you know, whenever it's about a month out, I'll put up, you know, like a pre-order for the new CD for when it's released in July. So that'll be coming up here soon. New single will be released at the time the album is released, or just that.
Are you?
I haven't made up my mind about that.
Is your music on Spotify, Marie?
My music is on all digital platforms, including Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, Apple Music, Pandora, Deezer, SoundCloud. I'm on everything. So.
Perfect.
Whichever music distribution center you get yours from.
We have like a 2 second delay on here. It drives me nuts and it gets confusing, but I apologize. No, but I'm not trying to. Nobody's trying to interrupt you. That's just our stupid 2 second delay. But again, people, that's Marie 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 Norris NORRIS Marie Norris Music. You can go look her up at YouTube, find her on Spotify, go check out her music, and let's catapult her up into the next level of country music stars. I think you'll enjoy her music. I certainly did when I listened to Perfume and Diesel. And, yeah, so Marie, is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
I will be at the truck show in Alabama down. I can't remember exactly the city right now off the top of my head because, of course, I'm driving right now. But I will be there on the 29th on that Saturday. I will be helping out with the entertainment down there. So if anybody's in the area. Look it up. I can't remember. I can't even remember what the name of the show is right now. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, when I find that out, Marie, I'll find that out and I'll put it on my social media and make sure to let people know that you will be down there at that truck show.
I'll be performing down there with tracks, of course, but it's still performing. I just want to let everybody know that I thank you for listening and taking the time to listen, because I really do appreciate it. I very much don't be afraid of me. Happy to give you an autograph or take pictures, whatever. I'm good with anything, just about. I mean, within reason.
Yeah. I've met Marie personally, and I'm going to tell you something. She's down to earth. She's just like hanging out with somebody you've met for, you know, that you've been friends with for years and years and years. So I can assure you that she's not lying to you there. Marie, thank you so much for joining the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show tonight. And we wish you all the luck, and go check her out on Spotify, YouTube, and all the social media networks, Marie Norris Music. All right, Marie, you have a great night, and thank you very much for coming on.
You have a great night as well, and thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Marie Norris. Like I said, I met her down in Louisville. Just really appreciate her calling in tonight and letting our audience know where they can find her and listen to her music. And go check her out. All right, so we have another half hour before our next guest calls in, and I want to go back to our conversation that me and Chris were just having about Chinese, because I like it when Chris gets into his explanations, because he says things that I don't remember to say, or he just does a better job at explaining. I'm better off when I go off. I just go bonkers because I'm pissed off about something. But Chris keeps a better head about him and explains it. But let's have that discussion, Chris, about, you know, the fact that the weather balloons were allowed, or weather balloons, spy balloons were allowed to fly over our whole country before being shot down, when at one point it was in Wyoming, in desolate country, desolate area of the land. They could have shot it down then, but they didn't. And they allowed that to go all the way across the country. And now we're hearing that the southern border, well, we knew it was wide open, but now we're seeing that they're actually busting busloads of Chinese up through the southern border, or to the southern border, to cross illegally. So I wish people would pay attention. I wish people would turn off their TVs, quit being lazy, and start looking at certain stuff on social media and beyond. If you followed me on Twitter, I guarantee you, you would be educated in less than 24 hours on what's really happening in this country. Because I retweet the shit out of everybody's stuff, because I want everybody to see what's happening. And everything that you see me retweet, go on there and follow their original tweeter. And I'm not lying to you when I'm telling you, you're going to be shocked. Chris, when you said we were talking about Trump and not letting all this information come out all at once because people wouldn't be able to handle it, I think that's what we're seeing now, is a drip of information. Like you know, that water spigot, it never really quite worked right, and it would always, in the bathroom, drip, drip. I think that's what we're seeing right now about numerous subjects. If I told you some of the stuff that I read today when I was waiting to get loaded about adrenochrome and human trafficking, what they're doing to children, those lakes called, the series of lakes in northern New York, Chris, that I think they call them the Five Fingers or the Three Fingers, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Okay, you got me on that one. I'm not up on my New York geography.
Oh, okay. I think it's three. They're really long lakes, and I've heard some things about human trafficking going on in and around that area. What's weird about it now is Hunter Biden has got those lakes tattooed on his back. And Hunter Biden has been accused of a lot of things. Now, I have not personally seen the evidence involving Hunter Biden. I have seen some of the excerpts out of the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. But this just came in this week, that they arrested some guys in that same area for human trafficking and prostitution. And they had one girl that they headed for over 7 years. When me and Chris talk about things, and when some of this information comes out, you're truly going to be disturbed when you realize that we weren't lying to you. We're not just conspiracy theorists or tinfoil hat wearing crazy people. We actually have dug into some shit that it's disturbing, and you will never see on mainstream media. But what are your thoughts about that, Chris, about like the Chinese spy balloon that flew across and we didn't do nothing about it, and now we got these people coming up through the southern border in mass numbers?
Well, there's a few different thoughts that could be taken from the whole spy balloon. I think one strong possibility is that their concern with shooting it down was that it may have been a trap, that it may have contained some sort of pee or other radioactive weapon that, if it were shot down, would create a substantial problem. If you know anything about the wind patterns in the U.S., you know that typically, most of the time, our winds blow from west to east in some fashion. They may go from the northwest to the southeast, or the southwest to the northeast, or generally west to east. But those are the prevailing winds. They're usually blowing in some west to east direction. And so let's say it had been equipped with some sort of radioactive release. That would have been carried across the entirety of the rest of the country with the prevailing winds. So I think that may have played a factor into why they didn't shoot it down. One of the other things that goes on is the thought that it maybe, possibly, is just kind of a psyop. There's also a strong belief that a lot of what we're seeing going on in the national and international news is really just a crazy dog and pony show that's designed to keep us all distracted. And get it, you know, keeping us focused on everything except what they don't want us to see or talk about. And so there's that thought as well. It's getting to the point, it's hard to really accurately predict a lot of the things that are going on exactly, except to me, the final end game. You know, I still believe the final end game is that they are trying to initiate a civil war, not just here. I believe they're trying to initiate uprisings in countries all over the world. Here in the good old U.S. of A, we seem to be the last ones that are really catching on. We have seen massive multi-million people protest in nations all around the world that were directed straight at the World Economic Forum, the climate change agenda, you know, the Dutch farmers and everything else. And over here, we're just like, you know, we're so busy arguing about whether or not a toy plastic potato should have a gender or not, that we're just not seeing the bigger picture. And I mean, it's working.
Hey,
you know, your
dad, does your dad want to get on, or did he actually accidentally hit his number one button?
Let's see. Yeah, he hasn't texted, so.
Oh, okay. Do you want to text him first?
Yeah, let me check.
Or just bring
him
on. It's up to you. Yeah, okay.
I'll check real quick.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so Daryl just texted me. He's actually working right now, so he's not on with us yet. He might be coming on here in a little bit, but those lakes I was talking about are called the Finger Lakes in New York, upstate New York. When you get a little time, go and research the Finger Lakes involving human trafficking in upstate New York. And when you see something that looks just absolutely crazy as far as an article goes, because you haven't ever heard about it, number one, and number two, you're just like, no, that can't be. You dig into it. Dig into every single article that you can read. When you pick a subject, have a notebook by you, by the way, because when you start going out down these rabbit holes, you start digging a little bit, you're going to find another rabbit hole, and you dig a little bit more, and you're going to find two more rabbit holes. It just never ends. So when you're looking up this research, have a notebook with you and read every single article you can about that subject. Educate yourself on that subject. But while you're doing that, like I said, you're going to come across other information. It's going to lead you down another rabbit hole. Write that down, and don't start researching that one until you're done researching the one you're on, because if you try to research them all at the same time, you'll drive yourself to be a transgender. I mean, insane. I mean, you know what I mean. But that's what will happen. It gets insane. Are you back on, Chris?
Yeah. Okay, so, no, he hit one on purpose.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and bring him on. You got your switchboard up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you handle it.
All right, Dad. Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, you've already got the answer now. Whenever I pressed one, I was just going to tell Jeremy that he was real close. It wasn't the Five Fingers Lakes. It was just plain old Finger Lakes. That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the big news that I had.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, Daryl texted me too and said that it's the Finger Lakes. I'm like, so you've heard of that then?
Oh, yeah, well, because that's where Watkins Glen International Racetrack is.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay.
There's...
I figured you programmed...
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, I figured it was either something to do with racing or he programmed the switches out there for the telemetry.
See,
in which case, yeah, I was going to ask if Hunter Biden was involved in that in any way. But
yeah, no, that was all the news that I had.
Well, yeah, no. See, even Mikerson's dad brings us information. See, this is how deep it gets.
So, you can
well,
go
appreciate
ahead and
enjoy
meet
the
me now. Yeah,
okay.
You're welcome anytime. All right.
It's always good it's always good when one of our parents pop in and get involved in the conversation. My mom listens too, and she'll text me because she doesn't want to be on air, you know, because then she gets stage fright. And I say, oh, you can get on air. I'm sure people would like to hear Jeremy's mom, you know. But yeah, so it's always cool to know our parents are listening and they add their two cents in. Every once in a while, you hear me say, oh, my mom just said this or something like that. But yeah, there's like I was just explaining while you were going to get your dad there, talk to your dad. You know, there's so much to research, and we will point you in the right direction. And me and Chris have said this numerous times. Don't just take our word for it. Write down what we say and give yourself. We'll give you a direction. You go research it yourself. I'm going to tell you, your mind is going to be blown. So, I forgot to push send in our messenger. We have a live chat, by the way, and I forgot to put Marie Norris's name in there, so you guys can use that as a reference. Marie Norris. Music. Yeah. Whew. I could go on in a rant there, and I don't know, Chris. We were talking, you and I talk about these secret government operations that are now unclassified or declassified, however you want to put it. You know, like Operation Paperclip and Operation Acoustic Kitty and Operation Northwoods and all these secret operations, and you hear from like me and Chris say, like, Operation Acoustic Kitty, what the hell is that? You go look it up and you find out, holy shit, that was a real thing. It's like, that's how whacked out our CIA is, man. Our government, when you realize how deep and just absolutely insane our government is, it'll blow your mind. And when you find out what our CIA has been involved with and what they're responsible for, the fact that they are partially involved or maybe fully involved with the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Hell, you and I did that story about, episode about MENA, Arkansas, how it tied in with the Iran-Contra scandal and the CIA was involved with trafficking drugs and weapons. And, dude, it gets deep when you start looking into this stuff. I'm telling you.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, they actually made a feature film starring Tom Cruise about the whole Iran-Contra thing. Now, they did not go into – they didn't go too much into the whole MENA, Arkansas thing. They didn't get into the murder of the two boys on the tracks. They didn't go into that. But they went all in on talking about the entire airfield operation that was established out there. They did talk about the drops that they would do with the planes, the big drug drops, and because they would kick them out of the plane over a marked location, and they had people there that were retrieving these bundles, these huge bundles of cocaine that were being dropped out. And the reason being, just in case they ever got intercepted by the DEA, they did not want to have anything on board the planes when they landed. That way, they always had the ability to get rid of any evidence on board the plane prior to landing, prior to any DEA being able to search out the aircraft. So, and of course, it was one of those drug drops that the two boys, it was actually outside of MENA, west somewhere of MENA, where they were doing one of those airfield drops where it is believed, and there's a lot of evidence supporting it, that the two boys that were walking down the tracks that night that had like basically snuck out of their house, that they basically stumbled into one of those drug drops. And as a result, the people that were there gathering up the packages basically murdered them and then staged it to look like an accident and a close connection. A medical examiner that had been appointed by then Governor Bill Clinton had ruled it that their death's an accident, saying that they smoked so much marijuana that they passed out on the railroad tracks and got ran over by a train. Even though private autopsies performed on the bodies afterwards showed that no, they had blunt force trauma and that they were dead prior to being laid on the tracks. But that every attempt to resolve that case legally has been stalled out, usually by some higher level of government. And so, yeah, it's a very sad, tragic, sick, twisted, and shocking, disgusting and shocking story when you really dig into all the details of it. I've spent hours upon hours looking into that one. Myself, and it's crazy. The level of corruption that exists within our government, that now it's starting to get exposed and no one cares. I mean, you know, the CIA came out and said, yeah, okay. Yeah, we were involved with the murder of JFK. And everybody's just like, oh, okay. Let's go back to talking about critical race theory. You know, it's Jim Brewer, I don't know if you know that, the comedian Jim Brewer, he's hilarious. He talked about some of this. He talked a lot about some of the stuff that's going on now, and he had a hilarious one where he was talking about how, you know, could you imagine if 15 years ago the U.S. government came out and said, yeah, there's UFOs flying around, and we know about them, and you know, and they're showing up a lot now, and they're mainly showing up around our military bases. He's like, everybody would be freaking the hell out, you know, and he's like, and now everybody's just eating a sandwich. Is like, oh, well, the Pentagon just announced that they know about extraterrestrials. You know what? I like the story about those spy balloon better. You know, it's like we're just walking around in a trance. A lot of this stuff comes out, and I don't know if people dismiss it or whatever, but no one's paying attention. No one cares. I think a lot of people have their head in the sand. They're like, okay, some bad shit's going down. I'm just going to live my life and be happy and until it all hits the fan, and I'll deal with it then. That's my theory.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think you're wrong. I also believe it's partially to do with the conditional programming that we've received for decades and decades and decades and decades, and maybe even centuries, through different, they use whatever technology they have to brainwash you and to program you. And part of that is, you know, when the television came out and everybody's like, oh, there's a, you know, they called it programming because that's exactly what they were doing to you. You look at some of these Hollywood movies and just different things, and you kind of think to yourself, are they trying to desensitize me as to what is coming? Because you look at, like, The Hunger Games, and you look at there's different series that I've watched on Netflix or whatever, and I'm like, some of this stuff equates to today's society, and it was, you know, it was produced in video, released in video, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, they did this, like The Simpsons. I mean, holy shit, how many things have they gotten right? Like, how? You know, if predicting one thing, but they're up to over 20, I think, now, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know there were a lot of episodes that predicted a lot of things, you know, 10, 15, 20 years in advance, very accurately, including the election of Donald Trump, and they pretty much had the map, the Electoral College map, you know, was just about dead on. And there's been lots of other, I've seen lots of people bringing up old clips of, you know, old movies and old TV shows where someone would go on some tangent and would start talking about things that sounded crazy at the time in the 1970s and the 1980s. And like, it's all happening now today. And I've actually kind of got a theory that I think a lot of Hollywood is under duress, that they are being forced to produce a lot of the propaganda that they're producing. And I actually think that there were some screenwriters and stuff in Hollywood that were basically trying to forewarn us by being really creative with some of their writing. It was trying to say, okay, maybe if we make like a major motion picture outlining what these guys are up to, maybe it'll help people to catch on. But no, it didn't. Nothing does. Everybody's just walking around asleep.
That one episode, Homer Simpson was at the voting booth, and he was torn on who to vote for, whether it was either Biden or Trump. And it's like, doesn't anybody like think, how the hell did they? You can't possibly get that right 20 years prior to the event actually happening. Like, it's impossible. I think there's more going on in the world than I think we even realize, and I don't think our small brains can't wrap our heads around it. I really believe that. I think if we really knew a lot of things, a lot of the truth, I think they do it purposely. This is just my opinion, to program and brainwash people purposely to think that everything is just la la, and you know, you live and you die, and you know, everything in between really doesn't matter, blah, 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 blah. But if the truth got out there, imagine, do you think they could control the masses the way they do? I mean, you look at the COVID-19 vaccine. You've got a good majority of the country convinced them that they have to go get this vaccine and save lives and save grandma's lives. You got to wear a mask. Oh, you got to wear two masks. No, you got to wear three. When you sit down to eat, you can take your mask off, and you won't get COVID. I mean, that's how ridiculous that got through the COVID and that the scamdemic, I like to call it now, knowing what I know now. I just read an article, too. I can't remember what doctor it was from. But they said that we're losing 600,000 vaccinated people a year in the United States since the vaccine rollout. 600,000. And you don't see that on mainstream media. And by the way, before Elon Musk took over Twitter, I was banned on Facebook because I was trying to warn people long, long ago. And Twitter started banning, I warn you, including the creator of the mRNA vaccine, Robert Malone. It pisses me off, honestly, when I think about it, because these people have no shame, and they don't give a shit who they hurt, and it's not right. Oh, excuse me. My goodness. Oh, I see Bull Johnson is on. Travis Bull Johnson is on from Minnesota's Constitutional Republic Party. He is going to be our next guest tonight. We're going to chat with him. And I told Chris, I said, you know, I'm going to get on with Bull and let him explain what this party is. What does it mean for Minnesota? What does it mean for America? Is a couple of questions I'm going to ask him, and then I'm going to ask him, you know, why he created it, why he felt the need to. In case you don't know who Travis Bull Johnson is, and Bull is his nickname, B-U-L-L, like, you know, like a cow, Bull. Just a little background about him. He ran for Minnesota's congressional, it was the 7th district, I believe it was the 7th district in Minnesota. And, yeah, he's got a little experience of what happens when you run and how what it takes to compete. The money, the absolute ridiculous amount of money that gets stuck into local, state, federal races, George Soros donated $141 million the last election cycle. Or we could cure the world hunger issue. We could have done it years ago. But they keep us fighting over the little shit because they have an agenda. And that's the bottom line. But, you know, without further ado, let me just go over and add Bull onto the radio show. Travis, you are on with the Disrespected Trucker radio show. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Oh, not too bad. What about yourself, man?
Oh, living the dream, brother. I got loaded down in Arkansas today, and I made it up to Joplin, Missouri before I stopped before the radio show. And yeah, now I'm sitting in my truck doing a radio show, talking to all you fine folks. And yeah, so let's get right into it. After we get done with this, Bull, I want to kind of go into some of the topics of what's going on in our country today and kind of do a roundtable, thought and opinions with you and Chris and myself and Daryl, if he joins us. But let's get it started. Like you started the Constitutional Republic. The Constitutional Republic Party. What made you decide to go ahead and move forward with that, to start that?
There's been a couple reasons. One is, when I was campaigning, it was obvious that there was no party or no candidates out there that were really about small government, leaving the people alone and individual freedom anymore. At the same time, was proud of our country, was proud of our roots, and who believed in the Constitution. I actually came over from, originally I was GOP until 2016. Then I switched over to the Libertarian Party. What I found in the Libertarian Party over the last few years is anarchists basically have almost completely taken over. And there is no if you're a proud flag-waving American, and I just didn't feel that there was a place in that party for somebody like that in me. Because at that point, you were just a state sympathizer. And so I was politically homeless. And I looked over at some other parties, and I looked over at the Constitution Party and considered them for a little bit. But then the more I read about them, they still want to control your life just from a different angle. And the government cannot control the people without growing it, without getting bigger and bigger and more powerful. And that's the opposite direction I wanted to go in. So I finally said, if it doesn't exist, maybe I'm going to have to invent it. And I talked to a few people and said, okay, if we're going to do this, what's important to us? And for the most part, we came in with the Constitution. And we also wanted to bring attention to the roots that we are a republic. We are not a pure democracy, so to speak. We're a democratic republic. So we wanted to make sure that was included in our name as well, so people knew what we stood for. And I tell you what, give you a good idea of our party and what we stand for. And this week I met with we're a brand new party, so we're still working on our platform. And our platform committee met this week. And basically our platform recommendation has only four lines or four topics. And they're basically we believe in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. These are our founding documents. And if it's contrary to any of those documents, then we don't believe it should exist in government. And that was the most of it, okay, because we want our candidates to be able to represent the people. And we don't feel that if we tie our candidates' hands on too many issues, they can't really represent the people. At that point, they're representing the party. And that's what we're trying to fight against. Is, again, we want people to go back and say, you know what, this representative is the representative of the 7th District in Minnesota or wherever, and that's the people he represents. He needs or she needs to have leeway to be able to represent those people without a political party tying them down on every issue. I mean, these the Republicans and the Democrats, I mean, you start looking at their platform, and they go into so much little things. I mean, I halfway expect next time I look at the Democratic platform to see how many – a position on how many pieces of toilet paper we should use for the environment. So yeah, that's a little bit about what we decided to do.
Right.
Yeah, no. Hey, I wanted to ask you something. There was legislation recently in Minnesota, and I haven't kept up with it. I've been busy with other stuff, but that legislation was trying to be brought forth that a third party wasn't able to was it not able to run in Minnesota politics? Or correct me if I'm wrong on that one.
Yes. Oh yeah, because I've actually testified in front of the legislator on this multiple times already. So what the current status is for a third party in Minnesota is you have two statuses, you're a minor party and you're a major party. In order to get ballot access, you have to be considered a major party. And Minnesota is one of the only states that require you to be in a major party to get ballot access. And that limitation in Minnesota is 5%. To be a minor party is only 1%, but you don't really get anything for that. You don't get ballot access. You don't get matching funding. That's all reserved for major parties. So what the Democrats, and I'm saying Democrats because it's passing on a strictly Democrat, a party line vote. The Democrats basically said, hey, we need to raise that 5% to 10%. Now, in Minnesota right now, you've only got three major parties. You've got the Democrats, you've got the Republicans, and you have the Legal Marijuana Now party. And basically what the Democrats were trying to do is they were trying to say that the Legal Marijuana Now party was taking votes away from the Democrats. So basically this law will eliminate them from having ballot access. Now, if you don't have ballot access, you have to go out there and you have to knock on doors and you have to petition to be allowed on the ballot. And if you're a political party, you have to do that in every district that you want to be on the ballot for as an individual. So, say I'm in Crookston. Say the Constitutional Republic Party wants to run for a House seat, a state representative, a state senator, and U.S. congressman here. All three of us have to go out and do our own petitions to be able to get on the ballot. Now, to give you an idea of the effect of that is, they're recommending 10%. 2022, not one third-party candidate in a major race in the country got to 10% unless it was a non-contested race. I had the second most successful third-party candidate race in 2022 when you take into account U.S. House, U.S. Senate, and governor's races. And I only got, I believe it was 5.6%, a long way away from that 10% requirement. And that was the second most successful candidate in the country. So they basically raised the standard that nobody can qualify.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the Democrats claim that the party that you ran under, the Marijuana Now Party, were stealing votes for them or taking votes from the Democrats. When in actuality, I know quite a few people, because I advocated for you, and if the audience doesn't know, Bull's been on our program before when he was running for Congress, and I actually met Bull in a small town southwest Minnesota for one of their festivals, and actually went up to St. Paul to the Capitol and stood with him up there also. I know a lot of people that know me that are Republican or more centerline independents or libertarians that voted for Travis, and so their claim that you were taking votes away from them is it's preposterous. I mean, sure, he probably got some Democrats' votes, but I know he got a lot of Republican votes too. So it's all a way to control you in every aspect of your life. They claim the Democrat and the Republican Party, that they make you think that that's your only two choices. Oh, you don't want to vote for a third party because if you're Republican, that's taking a vote away from the Republicans. That's what they're both parties are doing. When in actuality, if you would all start voting your conscience and voting for the people that you like to vote for, we could give them a run for their money, and this country would be changed in an awful big hurry. So just keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen.
I was saying it's a really bad game. It's a really dirty game. And I want to throw this out there because I was the campaign manager for James Toler, who was running for the Kentucky State House of Representatives. And let's see, that was in – we made a run in 2020. And on that one – He was new. People really hadn't heard of him. We didn't have a whole lot of time to really prepare for his run. He was running against an incumbent Republican. We still managed to take 19% of the vote in that race. So then we started focusing on his 22 run. And by that time, we were really starting. We were really getting good at working the social media. He was out there. He was working it. He was working good. We had a campaign team. We had people out there beating the streets for us and talking to people on his behalf. And he was really starting to pick up a lot of attention from voters in that area. And so what they did, literally before the deadline to file for the 22 race, the Kentucky Congress went out and they voted to redistrict. And so imagine this, they effectively drew the lines on the map and made it that he was now in a completely different district running against a completely different candidate, right? Furthermore, because they redistricted, the Libertarian Party no longer had the automatic ballot access. They now had to go back out, grab the signatures in order to be on the ballot. They had a very short time, you know, in order to do that because they had to extend the deadline to file and allow for another party time to go out, right, and get the signatures necessary to be on the ballot. And lo and behold, he was barely able to get enough signatures, but there was a lot of confusion as to, you know, people were confused as to what district they were in because they had literally just redrawn the lines. So after he got enough signatures to be on the ballot, the Republicans actually stepped in, did a signature audit, and came up with just enough signatures. He was 5 signatures short of what he needed to be on the ballot. He was automatically removed from the race. That's the kind of dirty politics that goes on. And this comes from both sides. Both of those parties do not want you to have an alternate choice. But I do want to say something real quick. We do have the chat applet feature for those of you that are listening over the website. And we've got one of our listeners is on there. First, I just want to address a comment he made real quick. He said, going back to the whole Mena, Arkansas case with the boys on the tracks, he said, if the weed was laced with fentanyl, then the case could stick that they passed out on the tracks. Let me just say, this was in like 1984. Fentanyl wasn't a big thing like it is now. Secondly, the medical examiner's report only listed the marijuana. It did not list any traces of fentanyl, so I don't think that that applies here. But the next thing he posted, he actually has a question for you, Travis. He wants to know, sure, does your party support the Convention of States movement?
Good question. We actually don't have a position on it. Now, what I will say is that the Constitution does allow for it. So I guess you could say, yes, we do believe in the ability to have a Constitution of States or a Conference of States.
That's actually a really good question, because what is, I think you need 33 of the 50 states, right, that you need to sign on in order to have convention of the states?
Maybe our caller listener can update me here. Yes, he said thank you for answering my question. I believe it's 34 states that have to go in for it. And at the last count, I think we were up to – I think we were up to 18. Are we 20-something?
Okay.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of
I was thinking 22.
That are voting in favor. Yeah, we're getting on
that
there.
I mean,
you know,
happening in our country.
I mean, on a personal point, not speaking for the party, I believe it's a great idea, something we probably need to do, because it's going to be the only way to be able to force through issues like term limits, like finance reform for politicians. I mean, because the politicians aren't going to limit their own power. And the only way that people are going to be able to do it is through a convention of states.
Absolutely.
And he did verify there, too, on here, our listener, that, yes, it is 34. And yes, there is 18 that have signed on to Convention of States right now. So basically now we're halfway. We're a little over halfway there, barely. But we need, you know, in my opinion, and you guys, we'll kind of go around the table here, but in my opinion, that is the only way we're going to take this country back is by Convention of the States, because you just heard an example. Bull has gone through it himself on what the Democrat and Republican parties do for dirty politics in order to retain the power that they have. They are not going to just give up the power back to the people. We're going to have to fight for it. And I believe one of our last resorts legally is to go through the Convention of States. You know, everybody talks about 1776, you know, or we need to have a civil war, or we need to have a revolution. You know, I've even said it myself sometimes, because I get so upset and angry at what's going on in this country. But at the end of the day, nobody wants war. I don't want war. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Because we disagree politically, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or whatever you may be, we have been influenced and brainwashed to get to the point that we are. And we need to somehow find a way to bring the power back to the people and away from these corrupt politicians. I'll go to Bull on that, and then we'll go to Chris. What are your thoughts on the actual Convention of States?
I mean, again, I think it's going to be the only way to change our political system to be back as representatives for the people. Right now, they're representatives of money and corporations, and until the people find that, no, we have to put limits on that, because you can't count on the politicians to do it to themselves. You cannot count on it, the Supreme Court to do it, who are all – I mean, the only way it's going to happen is through the people. I mean, we need to be able to push through things like term limits, even age limits for politicians, campaign or finance reform. I mean, my campaign, we raised roughly at $50,000, and I was running for U.S. Congress. Almost every state house race raised more money than I did running for federal office. And that's for the state house. That's how much money is even being thrown around at the local level.
Yeah, you get up to the federal level, money is astronomical. But, Chris, what are your thoughts on that Convention of States?
Oh,
no.
Okay. So – the Convention of States, absolutely. That's how you balance the power. A lot of people don't realize that our country is 50 individual states that have a cooperative agreement, like a contract. basically to band together as a nation. And a part of that contract means that we have a majority of the people who get their voices heard in Congress, right? And that's the House of Representatives. That's what your representatives are for, where you basically take a percentage of the overall population of the country from that state, and that's how you have a certain number of representatives from that state, okay? So the House of Representatives is like the voice of the people. Then you have the Senate. The Senate gives equal voice to each of the 50 partner states. They are the voice of the states. And the reason you have to balance that out is because let's look at the overall population vote, right? The majority of the population basically resides within five major cities. And in those five major cities, we know they vote blue, right? Now, you come out with a bill saying, hey, let's completely ban diesel fuel, right? And let's abandon all fossil fuels altogether. And the people in the cities are like, yeah, that's fine with me. I can just take the L train to get where I need to get. They don't realize, okay, are you going to send that L train out to South Dakota to harvest the crops? Because if somebody's not out there in flyover country, right, raising your food, you're going to have a really, really rough year coming up. And that's just one example of why we have to balance the power between the urban centers and flyover country. I know the blues, they love to say land doesn't vote. No, but it does raise your food, idiot. Okay, it also produces your steel. It produces damn near everything that you need to live in that little urban center you live in. And if you keep voting against the land, things aren't going to work out real well for you. So the Convention of States allows for all these red states in the middle of the country to come together where the states have an equal voice, federal government. We're passing a new constitutional amendment. That might be a constitutional amendment that puts federal term limits in place so that we can finally get these people out of there. I'm not mentioning any names, but, you know, that have been there for 50 years, right, and have become absolute masters of corruption, right? We get rid of those. Let's get some fresh blood in there, people that are coming in for the right reason. Let's not let them hang. Let's not let anybody hang out in Washington, D.C. long enough to figure out how to game the system in their favor of corruption, right? We can do that. We can pass a campaign finance reform amendment that gets rid of this dark money and makes it so that, I don't know, if maybe some little company that most people haven't heard of, like Pfizer, is out there spending billions and billions of dollars, you know, to members of a certain committee in Congress that sets policy and works with the CDC, for example, people will at least know that. You can track that back. You can trace everything a politician that received $5 million in campaign contributions from Pfizer. All of a sudden, it makes a lot of sense why they're so pro-Pfizer, right? We can do a lot of that, and that's through that process. The Convention of States, it's time. It's not something new. It's been used several times in the past, and we've reached that point. We've reached a point where things are so bad in this country, we need to go ahead, call another Convention of States, and let's pass another amendment or two to start pointing things back in the right direction. Of course, those in federal power, they don't want that Convention of States, because that's the states telling the central government, no, we're taking our power back now. You've had your turn. You've run roughshod over us. Now we're using our powers granted to us by the Constitution to come back and put some limits on you guys, which totally needs to be done.
Yeah, they basically, ladies and gentlemen, what we're telling you is that they have manipulated the system for so long, like Chris said, they've become masters at what they do. So now they have installed people into public office all over the country, governors, senators, congressmen, all the way up down to your local school board members, for Christ's sake. But they've almost had a complete over of our system. And if you think it's one side or the other, you're lying to yourself. It's Republicans and Democrats doing it. It's the two-party system. And it's not necessarily bad all the time, but right now it's not good. So I was when I first started following Bull, and I heard some of the things that he was talking about. I was still on Facebook at that time, but I've been banned twice, I think, since then. But I started listening to some of the things he was saying, and doing my research on candidates as far as where they stand, rather than going into the voting booth and voting for the D or voting for the R. This last time, I'll admit it, I voted straight Republican all the way down the ticket, except for District 7 in Minnesota, where I cast my vote for Bull Johnson. But and you know, there's only one reason I did it that way this year, because I didn't like anybody else. I certainly didn't like any of the Democrats' positions or policies. Travis was the only one that I actually agreed with on policies. There's numerous Republicans that I did agree with. And we've had, like, Representative Jeremy Munson on the show. He's a very bright, intelligent, down-to-earth guy. You work pretty close with Representative Munson, don't you?
Yes, I do. He's actually been one of the ones helping us on our putting our platform together.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I couldn't say enough good things about him. He actually put through legislation to secede 2/3 of Minnesota over to North Dakota and South Dakota. Am I right on that?
Yep. Yes, you are.
Yeah. When I seen that, I'm like, I gotta look into this guy a little bit more, because this guy like literally did what we were all thinking. We are so sick and tired of the Rochester area and the Twin Cities area and the Iron Range dictating what the rest of the 2/3, we don't want it. And they keep on voting the same damn way. You know, we're stuck into a perpetual nightmare, basically. But what do you, if people just understand just a little bit, and listen, I don't claim to sit here and tell you that I know everything, but I know enough that this country's in trouble. Like, we're in deep trouble, especially on the federal level. But when they started criminalizing speaking up at school board meetings and flying helicopters over school board meetings to intimidate parents from standing up, I mean, look at down in Loudoun County, Virginia, where they had that transgender sexually assault somebody, a girl in the bathroom, and it got covered up. We got problems all over this country. And guys like Bull are here to try to change that. And you've dedicated a lot of your time into getting this thing going. And not only that, but before, when you were campaigning for District 7 in Minnesota. I want the audience to hear, what did it take just a campaign, just for a congressional district in a state?
Well,
what kind of time, you know, did it take and dedication?
I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, in this specific congressional district, we're fairly unique because of how large we are. For me to go up to down to the southernmost portion of my district, it's been a one-hour coffee break with them, and to come home takes me 9 hours. And that's for a one-hour visit. It's 4.5 hours. Some places up to 5 for the furthest part of my district. What's funny is when I first decided to run, I met with Colin Peterson, who was a former congressman from this district. And I told him, hey, I'm thinking about running. The first question he asked me is, do you have a plane? Because that's pretty much what it's going to take to get to all the parts of this district. I probably put somewhere between 60,000 to 70,000 miles on my truck over the year and a half that we ran. And I tell you what, my truck is a 3/4 ton. It has never seen a gas station that it did not like. I will tell you that we brought in roughly $50,000 to fund my campaign, but if I actually kept good records of all my gas and food expenses, I probably spent twice easily. But again, a lot of it is, again, how big of a district we are, which also makes their requirements for petitioning a lot harder in rural areas than they are for the metro. Because it's based on how many, the number of signatures you have, say 1,000 signatures. Well, I can go down 2 blocks in Minneapolis and get 1,000 people. I'm a lot more spread out than that in rural Minnesota.
Let me make a comparison, too. I want people to understand something. When Bull said that he put on 50,000 to 75,000 miles in his personal vehicle, campaigning in just the state of Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically the whole one-third western half of Minnesota. I want you to understand something. I drive over-the-road truck. I'm on the road all day, every day. I put on an average of 130,000 miles a year when I'm on the road every single day driving across this country. Put on nearly half that or almost over half that driving in the one-third western part of Minnesota campaigning. Let that sink in for a second. Daryl is on here. I added you on to Mike, Daryl, so you're on live. But Daryl actually ran for lieutenant governor of Colorado this last election cycle. And I wanted to – Daryl's also a co-host on the show. But I wanted him to jump in here real quick, and because I know he's got, I'm sure can shed light on the situation as far as what it takes to campaign. So Daryl, welcome to the show tonight, brother.
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, a little late. Had to handle business up here in Idaho.
You
and made it down here to Utah.
Oh, you're working right now, right?
I just finished unloading, so I'm just gonna chill out here and wait until the show is over with, and then after that head down to Salt Lake to take a shower and then go grab a load tomorrow. Yeah, definitely clean. Don't get off my bronze.
Yeah, we always have to play that sound effect for Daryl. But what do you want to add to this conversation we're having with Bull? I mean, first of all, I'd like to get you guys involved in these conversations, and especially as Bull is I consider Bull a friend of mine. We've talked on the phone, we've hung out, privately. We've been to different events together, but I want to get you guys involved more in the conversation on here when we do have somebody like Bull on, so we can, you know, one guy will think of something, and we all kind of feed off of that. So.
I just came on at the end when he was from my house. He had to pull out. I was
in your mic is bad, buddy.
Hold on, wait a minute. How's that?
There you
How's
go.
How's that? Okay.
Yep, you're good.
I caught the back end of what he was saying about all the mileage that he's done. And yeah, I understand that because girl I was running with, Danielle. You know, she covered a lot of miles. I covered as much as I could, but I did mine differently. I did it while I was driving my truck because all the places that I went to in Colorado. So I kind of did it the old-fashioned way. But, I mean, if he's just a common, ordinary person, yeah, they don't make this easy for us. They don't want it to make it easy for the common, ordinary person because they don't want the common, ordinary person to be up running things. Because if so, then we make sense because we understand what's going on with people because we live it every day. And it's people that are these polished politicians and these lawyers, they don't live our life. They don't understand it. They can go ahead and tell you that. They honestly don't. And it's from financially campaigning, trying to get funds to go against people that are already established in these parties and they got all this money, yeah, it is freaking hard. Can it be done? Yes, it can be. I am grateful for the people of Colorado who reached out to me, and they understood who I am, and they've seen my Facebook, and when I talk to them with passion, and they know that I'm for real. I haven't backed down with anything that I've said. Ever since I've been campaigning, I have said the same thing over and over again, and that's one thing that a lot of people like. They like someone who is genuine, because they get tired. Because one thing I will say is this: if you're gonna stick to your guns or something, stick to it, because people will remember it. Because 3 months, a year later or more, all of a sudden you started doing a wishy-washy thing with no reason at all, they're gonna remember that, and they're gonna say, you know what? No, I'm not gonna deal with you. So a lot of people may like me because I stick to my guns.
Yeah, and that's what Travis has done from the very beginning, and that's why I publicly supported him, and I push for him at all my social media platforms, because I believe in what he says. I've met the guy face-to-face. He's a down-to-earth, he's a regular dude. He's just like you and I. He's tired of seeing what's going on in this country, and he's trying to stand up and make a change. And that's what we need, is guys like Travis to stand up, Travis Bull Johnson to stand up and you know, live what he's saying. I mean, he's not blowing smoke up your ass and say, I'm going to run and you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No, he goes out and does it and tells you what he's doing. So it impressed me about him. And he's you're a busy dude, too. I tell you, I watched some of the stuff you were doing during your campaigning. I just laughed. You know, I thought at one point about maybe throwing my hat in the ring and running for the same district, but after I seen what you did, dude, I wouldn't have time to do that. That's strenuous. Like they push you to a breaking point just to try to run for office, try to make a change.
But as you were saying, with the sticking to your guns and saying what you mean, that was one of the other reasons that we started this new political party. Is because these other parties, they expect you to shift to match what they and do what they want you to do, not necessarily what you believe, not necessarily what your constituents believe. And that had a lot to do with with the reason we started this new party, is to be able to be able to put the trust in the candidates who run under us to do the right things and
right.
be their own person and represent their people over the party.
But
and that's what you said. You like publicly said that. I remember you saying this, that if an issue pops up and a majority of my constituents in Minnesota's 7th district wants me to vote a certain way, that's the way I'll vote, because that's what they elected me for, is to vote for them. I'm not here to represent me. I'm here to represent you.
And if I could not do that morally, then they would be I would resign.
But see, but the thing is, though, if you stick up, if you're sticking up for your guns from the get-go, and they already know what you stand for, they're not going to change it in midstream, because they already know what you stand for. And then also,
exactly.
Like you said, you're starting this new party, and I'm going to be somebody already told you this, but I'm just going to say that you're going to start a new party. You're definitely going to have to bring in some funds, and some people are going to have to seriously donate to you, because if not, I'll tell you this: I hate to be like this, but I already faced this. If they're not going to put money up and have your back like they're supposed to, and then you will not be able to go against these people that have money. And you're going to have to – the reality is this. You're going to have to be able to match – at least you're going to have to be able to fight these people that you're going against, even though you may not have as much money. But if they're – you got to have some money to at least put up a fight so people will know you. You're going to have to do that. And these people – and whoever's going to do this with you, they got to be 100% – they got to be committed. Other than talking it, they got to be committed and ready to go ahead and share some of that wallet and to help you to exceed and get your message out.
And that's where our problem is coming in now, is because the Democrat Party and Republican Party, politicians in general, they're taking special interest money, in order to get in office, well, then they have to vote a certain way. They're certainly not voting for their constituents. They're voting for their donors.
Well,
you have to remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
You remember earlier when we were talking about the major parties, the minor parties, and that 10%?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other part of the equation. If you're a minor party, you get state funding when you run for office. To do so, you have to agree by certain limitations on where you get your money and so forth. But the Democrats were tired of sharing that money with legal marijuana now. A lot of times Republicans are saying, no, we can make more money than accepting state money. We're not going to worry about that. But the Democrats really counted on getting that free money for the state. And if there was a third party running who qualified in that race, they had to share the money.
True.
So that had a lot to do with it as well.
Now, that didn't get passed, though, did it?
It has passed the House. Now, the Senate did not include it in their omnibus bill. So
they did not.
Whether it's going to go through or not, I don't know. They're going to have to do reconciliation, and I have no clue on some of the back-end deals that's going to pass in there for that. But I do know that I had managed to switch at least one Democrat senator to vote against it. So it was going to be dead in the Senate. Package it with this omnibus bill, there's no telling what's going to happen.
Yeah, because that's where all the backroom deals come in. And, well, you do this and I'll do that. Yeah, I know how that works, too. Politics is so frickin' dirty.
Yeah.
It really is.
There was three Democratic state senators who barely won their races. And we put enough pressure on them, including guaranteeing them, basically, if y'all vote to screw us on this, we will put candidates in your districts, and we will screw you next election. And
that's what needs to be done.
We'll play by the same rules. You screw us, we're going to screw you. And it affected at least one of them that said that, hey, you know what, we're against this. And at that point, when you only have a one-vote majority, and I will give the GOP politicians in the state house this. Almost to a man, they said they were against this raising to 10%. However, their state chair was for raising it to 10%. They basically stuck their middle finger up at their state GOP chair for supporting this. So I do appreciate them having that much tech.
Well, and I want the audience to understand something. I put in the description of our show tonight that you were going to be on, and I told you that we're going to put you on at 8. That way we have at least a half hour to discuss things, but we'll probably take a full hour and maybe a little bit beyond if it got interesting. If you guys are listening on the Internet and you guys want to call in and you want to have a question to ask, any of that, grab a piece of paper and a pen. I'm going to play a quick, really quick 30-second ad. And then when I come back from that 30-second ad, I'm going to give you that call-in number so I can give you 30 seconds to go find a piece of paper and a pen so you can write this phone number down, okay? So just give me 30 seconds.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Olsnot new.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Olsnot. Nothing related with Travis Bull Johnson. But this is Olsnot. Cleaning products for your cars and trucks. I've used their product, really, really great product. I met Van down in at the truck show in Louisville a couple weeks ago, and a great guy. But the phone number, the guest call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, 516-387-1733. And when you start hearing us on your phone, over your phone, just press the number 1 if you want to add your comment or question into this conversation. Again, that phone number is 516-387-1733, and then just press the number 1. But I put in our advertisement for this radio show, this episode, I'm going to announce some of the things that I was going to involve myself with. Well, I've talked to Travis numerous times. He created the Constitutional Republic Party, and I really didn't know. I wanted to help. I want to help him build this party because I believe in him, and I believe in the Constitution, and I know something needs to be changed. And I racked my brain over and over and over and over again. How in the hell can I be involved to help him? I don't really want to be in the forefront of anything anymore. After the People's Convoy, that really put a damper on how I feel about what's wrong with this country. This country is so messed up. Like, dude, it's bad. So I told Travis that I'm going to get involved this way. I'm going to promote him on all of my social media, and me and him are actually going to start doing Twitter spaces so we can have conversations just like this probably once a week, where you're welcome to come in and be a speaker or to ask a question. We'll make you into a speaker. And basically what I'm going to do there is I'm going to create the space on Twitter. I probably won't say much. I think we'll leave the speaking up to Travis because, after all, it's his party, and he knows where he wants to take it, and I support him. So that's what we're going to do. And then I got to get with you too, Travis, probably tomorrow. Maybe I'll call you. But I did a live video last night discussing on TikTok that me and you would probably be getting on TikTok lives also. So I want you guys to understand that's some of the things that I'm working on to help build this party with Travis and see it succeed. So do you have something to say, Travis?
Yeah, no, me, I really appreciate it. I mean, it's that kind of effort and help that's going to help this party overcome the lack of serious funds. I mean, for this party to succeed, it's going to be the grassroots. It's going to be the people who care about it. Because, again, we're not going to sell out to the corporations, and they're the ones who are giving all this money. I mean, for lack of a better term, our party is pretty much anti-corporations because we're about the people. We're about holding people accountable. We are against too big to fail. And they keep on counting on these government handouts to keep them to overcome their bad decisions. So we are definitely not going to be on the top of their friends list.
Hey, Travis, not to interrupt you, but we do have a caller that popped up and wants to get on here and share their opinion. Let's go to that caller just to see what they have to say or a question they may have want to ask. So if your phone number ends with 3943, you are coming on air. You are live on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. And what would you like to add to this conversation?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Suzette, and I live in Southern California. And I was district captain, 17, our area here for Constitution of States or Convention of States. And I support it heavily, and I recommend your listeners at least look into it. And then if they can support it, sign the petitions. I was chatting in the chat room. I took over Bringing It Boys because he had to leave. But anyway, I'm his wife. And what I'm seeing on these different websites, these agencies connected to the UN, which is as well, and all of these other European Union and all of that have all signed on. Joe Biden has us back in again with them. So I put some websites there, and it appears that we have a permanent representative there with the organization that's with the Union, or the United Nations, I'm sorry. And I hate to say this more than anything, and I'll go down fighting to save my country, but it's like it's gone already. Decisions are being made. Campaigns are being put together against firearms, so that should be rolling out pretty soon. And we've lost our sovereignty as the United States. And I don't know what else to say. If you have a chance to visit Christ Christ Church Call. Just type that in your browser. And it's an organization that was started in New Zealand after they had that mass shooting in the church. And from there, they created another organization called GIFT. It's G-I-F-C-T. And that group was comprised of Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Facebook, and they made themselves the masters of the Internet. And they had the support of that organization, Christ Church Call. It's very deceiving as far as the name goes. They're both .org, G-I-F-C-T.org. And it's really sickening to know that these organizations are working in the background. And, you know, I just don't know what to say. I mean, is there any hope? We're working on these states. California is pretty much useless. I don't know.
You guys are in trouble in California.
Yes.
But,
and he wants to be president.
But here's the thing. There's and I'm glad that you called in because I got to take a minute here for everybody that doesn't know the history with this caller. You've been involved on our chat before, and there's an episode quite a long time ago where me and Chris were being attacked by Antifa, and we mistook you for being Antifa. And I'm glad that you called in so I can publicly apologize to you for anything that was said that was rude or disrespectful to you. So I want you to know that, number one. I've always said publicly that if I'm wrong, I will apologize and I will set the record straight. I'm man enough to at least apologize when I'm wrong. So I do apologize for when that did happen. But on your question, you know, giving you some hope, you got guys like Travis that are trying to do something, and then you have this radio show. Even though we're not Joe Rogan, obviously, but we do have loyal listeners that share our content out. So we try to put out the educational material, bringing awareness to what has happened, to what is happening, and to make people understand that if believe in some of the stuff that we say or trust in some of the stuff we say, that we can all, like, come together here and unify. Convoy was proof that there are people all across this country, from California all the way to Maryland, from all the way to Maine, I should say, and everywhere in between, that stood on every single overpass. And I mean every single. There wasn't one that didn't have at least four, five, six people on it, but most of them had hundreds. All the way from California to Maryland, there was people standing in every rest area, every overpass.
Along the street sidewalk there, they went for miles. Yes, it was incredible.
Yes, yes. So what I'm saying, I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but what I'm trying to say is that there are people know that we need to do something. And you're not alone, and I know there's a lot of days that I sit in my truck and drive down the road, and I don't know, the truck is probably the guy's worst enemy because you sit alone with your thoughts all day. And, you know, I get to that feeling sometimes, like, God, what are we going to do? Our country, I mean, it's in trouble, you know, it's in deep trouble. But don't ever give up hope, because there are guys and women, just like all of us on this phone call right now, that are out here trying to do something. And I don't know, will we be successful? If that's the question that remains. So, but no, you put some really good information out there. If you are listening over the internet, go to our chat. It's a live chat. You come on there quite often, and share some of your opinions and stuff. And you brought some really good information tonight. And she actually put on there a bunch of links. So you go in there with a notebook and pen and write these links down and go check this stuff out and go research this stuff. It's people like yourself, ma'am, and guys like me and Chris and Daryl and Bull that put out information that you need to go look at with your own two eyes. So you're not, you know, being thwarted by opinion. You're going to look at it with your own two eyes and creating your own opinion on it. That's what we've lost in this country, is too many people are listening to what the news tells them, and they take that as truth, when in actuality it's propaganda. That Smith-Mundt Modernization Act I've spoken about it many times. And it went into effect under Obama, and everybody says, oh, yeah, it's the damn Democrats. Well, the fact of the matter is it was one of the most bipartisan bills ever passed in our government. It went under the Defense Act. And so if that doesn't tell you something right there, that it's not just one party that's screwing you. It's both parties.
Right.
But is there anything else that you would like to ask Bull or any comments you'd like to make?
I have a show as well, and it's on Spreaker, and I try and get the word out there. Anything that I put out there, I like to back it up with the links to the horse's mouth rather than, you know, articles. And if there is information from an article, then I'll dig until I find where it goes to as far as the connection. And so, and I appreciate your show very much. Your opinions are spot on, and we're like-minded people. God bless America.
Would you please share how they can find you, your radio show or the show that you do? And then would you also please add it to the chat? That way the people that are listening over the internet can go in and write that down so they can come and listen to your stuff too, because I like to promote fellow patriots. So go ahead and let people know where they can find you.
Oh, thank you. You can find me on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker. And the show is called Welcome to Suzette Live. And I'm on Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. And I talk about whatever comes up that day because I'm on the internet. I'm paralyzed, so I'm in front of the computer a lot, doing a lot of research. So you never know when things are going to come up. You got to be on the ball. But, yes, thank you. You can find me there Tuesday evenings at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And thank you, gentlemen. I'll let you continue now. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, absolutely, and thank you. And please put that in the chat, too, so people can find that on the chat and write that down. But, yes, thank you for your call. I'll actually go on and take a listen to it, too, because what you said tonight makes sense. But, okay, that was one of our regular listeners. She's never called in before, I don't believe, and very, very decent person. very logical, actually. What did you think of what she had to say there, Bull?
Well, I mean, you were kind of getting to it as well. It's up to us to make these changes and to stand up. I mean, that was again why we're doing what we're doing with the Constitutional Republic Party, is we feel we have to do something. What we're doing now is not working. What I was saying, keep on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity. Well, this is insanity. So we have to do something different. We have to step out of these molds, and we have to get back to our Constitution, which says these United States. It doesn't say these United States as a member of the United Nations or of NATO. It's these United States. We're sovereign. We're our own country. We don't bend the knee to anyone. We will work with anyone, but we don't work for anyone, if that makes any sense. And that's what
right.
I think we need to remind the people that as a country, we've made a mistake, but we're a country to be proud of. Look at all we've accomplished in such a short amount of time. We can't let it be torn apart from within. And that's what we saw.
No, and that's what we're seeing. I just was writing down. Okay, so in case you didn't hear what the previous the caller, you can find her at www.spreaker. That's Spreaker.com, and she posted the site how you can get there on our chat, our live chat. So I want to leave that up. We're going to go over I'd like to keep it at 2 hours. We're just going to go over just a little bit tonight, up for about 10 minutes or so people can catch that. So they can write that down. I wrote it down. I'll probably I will go take a listen to it. I want to hear more of what she has to say because I really enjoyed what she had to say. So, but I want to thank you first, Bold, coming on tonight. And I'll be in touch here in the next day or two. We'll talk about getting our Twitter spaces up and running. And then we'll did you get up a TikTok account set up yet or no?
Not yet. I'm in the process of it. I should have something up by tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, yeah, just shoot me over a text or give me a shout. I'll be driving all day tomorrow, so let me know when you get that set up. And then when I get stopped tomorrow night, I'll start doing some promotion on that, too, on TikTok, and get you up to your 1,000 followers so you can do your own live videos on there, which I think would benefit you greatly. And we'll get some moderators that I trust to help you moderate that, because when I got online live last night, the little Antifa dirtbags come out of the woodwork, and they try to set you off so they can say that you were being a bully or you were sharing harmful and hurtful content, and then they shut your live off. So that's why it's important to have good moderators on your TikTok so they can just boot them right away.
I would definitely help you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but thanks for coming on tonight, brother. I'm going to we're going to go to our final thoughts here, but I'll let you go first, and we'll be in touch. This isn't going to be the last time you'll hear Bull on the show either, because when things come up and we need to talk about things publicly, we're going to get him back on. So you'll just have to follow me on my Twitter and TikTok, and I'm the Disrespected Trucker on both of them. So you can find me pretty easy. Travis, thanks so much for coming on tonight, brother.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. If y'all do have any interest in our new political party, it's constitutionalrepublicparty.us. If the need moves you, please donate a little bit, because, as I said, it does take money to get these things going on. We are actually in talks with members in other states. We do plan on this being a national party. When we set up our bylaws and our platforms and everything else, we are setting it up with the intention of being one of the big boys. So it'd be real cool and real great to have as many of y'all on now on the ground floor as possible. So thanks again for having me, Jeremy, and talk to you again probably tomorrow.
Yep, sounds good, brother. All right, everybody, that was Travis Bull Johnson, and he created the party, the Constitutional Republic Party.us. In Minnesota. So you make sure you go follow him. And I will be promoting a lot of his stuff in the very near future. So you'll find that on my Twitter and my TikTok, also on how to find him and where to find him. And I'm trying to get him his accounts built up on things other than Facebook. Because Facebook is way too big at censorship. And TikTok is, for the most part, too. But when you're a political candidate, it depends on which line you toe before they really start messing with you. It has a lot to do with the little Antifa soy boys on there that report all your videos because they don't like you. So I'm trying to get his Twitter account built up, and that will benefit him greatly. So yeah, he's a really good dude. But man, all right. Well, Daryl, you joined us late, so. Let's start with you with your final thought for tonight, and then we'll go over to Chris, and then I'll take it from there. I'm just going to respond to our chat while you guys are doing your final thought. So go ahead, Daryl.
Okay. All right, let's see. Number one, that young lady that was on, never say you give up. You know what? Keep fighting. Never use that, because if you say that, then you're giving them more power, because I will never give up, because I am going to do a political run. I ain't going to say when yet. Also, Trump, the reason Trump hasn't really said anything about everything else that's going on, look at all the mess that was taking place while he was in office. And this man is very vocal. You have so much stuff going on with the local media and them trying to do negative stuff or give him no positive publicity, even if he came with all this stuff that's going on with the World Organization, they would have swept it under the rug. And then dealing with China. Okay, people, do some history. China does not like us. They don't like anyone. If you look at any world, any nation where they're at, like Africa, they'll come up and say, hey, we'll give you all this money and we'll take care of this. And what do? They'll turn around, because they know they can't pay for it. they will take over. That is what they're doing here. The problem is we have people that are here in this United States. To me, I'm going to call it out. You're nothing but a bunch of traitors, because the ones who have authorized China to go ahead and have these police stations here, they got paid. We need to do something about them, including Joe Biden with his crazy butt, because he's compromised. And another thing, Joy Reid, you are a phony. You know what? The reason she came on and talking about people, you know, shoot when somebody got shot because of the doorbell, and she's trying to blame Fox News. Okay, lady, here's the truth. Murders have gone up drastically, especially in 2022 and also in 2023. Because why? Because we have not enough cops, and we keep letting these the criminals get away with everything. So if you're going to say something, Joy Reid, do me a favor. Talk about the murder rate. That's why everybody is buying guns, because they feel like they have to protect themselves, because we do not have a lot of police officers, and our people who make our laws are giving the criminals a free pass. There you go on that. I like to – oh, and one more thing. People, we're on Spotify, so as soon as this station is done, Kim puts us on Spotify. And Jeremy said one thing that I'm very proud of him, and I want y'all to understand this. We have our opinions about stuff, and we'll give you facts. If we are wrong, come on and tell us. Give us facts and saying that we are wrong. He straight up apologized to this young lady. He said, I thought that she was this. Found out she was not, and he came on the air and said, you know what, I apologize. Whether you like us, whether you don't, we're going to come at you 100% truthful. And that's how we always will ever be, and I'm like that too. And I appreciate the short time y'all got me for being on here. Sorry I had to work. But everybody, thank you for listening. I love you all. I love you, Chris. Love you, Jeremy. Love you, Kim. All right, that's mine. And I still don't like Joe Biden, and I'm still black. There you go.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Yeah, with that guy.
All right, Chris, why don't you share your final thoughts tonight? And I'm not going to – my final thoughts ain't going to be very long, so we ain't going to run over too much. So.
No, I'm going to keep it short so we can go ahead and get it wrapped up here. I was very pleased to hear someone come in from the Convention of States. I'm actually on the Convention of States mailing list. I just haven't really had time to kick in and do my part, mainly because of all the other things that I have going on. But, you know, I don't know, maybe I can at least get this show over to the COS mailing list, and maybe we can get some more listeners from there. I would definitely like to work with the Convention of States organization on getting some more states on board for this, because I do believe, you know, that is our peaceful means of resolving this attack on the constitutional republic that's taking place. So looking forward to that. And yeah, I got to get in on that apology as well, because, you know, the person that came in before that was saying all the racist stuff, they actually did have a very, very similar screen name to our Convention of States person from SoCal. So yeah, you and I were both convinced that this was that same individual trying to come in and pull a fast one on us. But obviously we were wrong, so my apologies as well to that individual. And with that, I'm just going to say keep on believing and turn it over to you, Jer.
All right, sounds good, brother. She's actually going to email me her phone number, because I didn't write it down. I didn't realize that's who it was that was calling in to jump on air with us. So when I do call her, Chris, I will probably I'll probably get on the phone with you first, or with you and I both on the phone, so we kind of have one of those little powwow conference calls. So I think it's a lot. It benefits all of us when we're both when everybody's hearing everybody. You know, rather than I heard this from somebody and it gets chopped up and you didn't get the full, you know, the full story. So, but my final thoughts tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, surprisingly, I kept it pretty non-potty mouth tonight. That's really surprising for me. I must not have been as worked up as I usually am, but. Again, you go check out Marie Norris Music. You can find her on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, and that's Marie Norris Music. wonderful person, down-to-earth person, great person, and I hope you go check her music out. Secondly, thank you to Travis Bull Johnson for coming on tonight explaining the Constitutional Republic Party in Minnesota. And ladies and gentlemen, please just pay attention to what I'm just trying to tell you on my social media, but what we're trying to tell you here on this radio show about what's coming to America. We're living in unprecedented times, and we're about to see some really bad times, in my opinion. I've been saying that for the last couple of years, but apparently they're a little bit more strategic than I am patient. So we'll see what happens. But on that note, ladies and gentlemen, to try to keep this at 2 hours, I'm going to jump off here also. And I want you all to know that we appreciate each and every one of you that listen to us and support us. You all have a great night. God bless. And we will catch you next Thursday night, live and uncensored, at 7 p.m. Central on the Disrespected Trucker Talk Radio Network. Have a great night.